He said, where was the painter's art until Giotto restored it? A caricature of the art of human delineation. Sculpture and architecture, for long years sunk to the mere travesty of art, are only today in the process of rescue from obscurity. Only now are they being brought to a new pitch of perfection by men of genius and erudition. Of letters and liberal studies, it would be better to be silent altogether. For these, the real guides to distinction in all the arts, the solid foundation of all civilization, have been lost to mankind for 800 years and more. It is but in our own day that men dare to boast that they see the dawn of better things. For example, we owe it to our Leonardo Bruni that Latin, so long a byword for its uncouthness, has begun to shine forth in its ancient purity, its beauty, its majestic rhythm. Now indeed may every thoughtful spirit thank God that it has been permitted to him to be born in this new age so full of hope and promise, which already rejoices in a greater array of nobly gifted souls than the world has seen in the 1,000 years that have preceded it. Now, way up in the north, and a little bit later in France, the great writer François Rabelais agreed, out of the thick Gothic night, he says, our eyes were awakened to the glorious light of the sun. Now, what I would suggest, at least as a preliminary observation, and we'll test this from one or another point of view as we move along, is that these views tell us a very great deal indeed about the men who held them. But they don't necessarily tell us much at all about history. There is no reason why we need to take these people as having offered us the complete and unvarnished truth about that period of darkness, that period of gloom that had preceded them. They clearly thought of themselves as embarked on something new, on something original, on something important, on something creative. Note again, in this new age, this dawning age, they used this language. So they clearly had a very sharp sense that there was something different. Our job is to understand, how different was it? Why did they talk that way? And how do we understand this period that we call the Renaissance? Now, one way in is to follow the great art historian Erwin Panofsky. Panofsky wrote a book, well, actually he wrote a very long essay, which was then published as a short book, called Renaissance and Renaissances in Western Art. So he was talking particularly about art, and he acknowledged the fact that really from late antiquity down to the 14th century, there had been a number of moments, the Carolingian period, Ottonian Germany, for example, 12th century France, for example. There had been a number of periods when there had been truly distinguished achievements in art, yes, but in the arts more generally. But Panofsky thought that what happened in the late Middle Ages was different from and superior to those earlier movements, so he wished to reserve the word Renaissance for them, for these earlier movements, and Renaissance for the phenomenon in the late Middle Ages. Now, we could say, gee, that's just a semantic game. But Panofsky was trying to make a very serious point. What was it that was different? Above all else, Panofsky said, it was in the 14th and 15th centuries that people looked back as from a fixed point in time, to quote him. Now, when I quoted Alcuin a few minutes ago about this new Rome in Francia, when I quoted Bernard of Chartres about being dwarves on the shoulders of giants, I emphasized the sense of continuity. The sense of continuity that medieval people felt. So, Panofsky's point, and thinking again of the quotations from Matteo Palmieri and François Rabelais, Panofsky's point is that in the Renaissance, people did start to feel that they were different. Now, you see, very importantly, this doesn't mean they were different, but they certainly started to think of themselves as different. That's Panofsky's point. So that's one marker that we can attach to this period. This was a time when people genuinely, at least some of them, certainly some of the cultured elites, thought of themselves as different. Now, what's in a word? We customarily use the word Renaissance. That's a French word, Renaissance. Comes from the French verb renaître, to be reborn. But even though the French form, Renaissance, has become customary in English, the term itself, in any language, first appeared in the 16th century, Rinascita. And it was used by Giorgio Vasari in his history of painting. In his history of painting. Now, there's any number of interesting and ironic things about the way that Vasari used the term. He began, for example, in the 13th century with figures like Giotto and Cimabue and Duccio, painters that art historians would not now call Renaissance painters.